What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Live Podcast. It is me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, alongside the Fantasy Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano, and the Fantasy Viper, Graham Barfield. And, well, the things we were right on makes us geniuses. The things we were wrong on makes us idiots. So, you know.
It's week one, man. Like, weird stuff happens.
Opinions are set now. Nothing can ever change. We can't change our minds. It's too late. We can't go back.
The good thing is that we're actually starting to gain knowledge of what teams are going to try to look like.
This is the most, that's the most exciting time for me, is just like seeing how these teams are actually going to game plan week to week, how they're going to use their players. That's what I'm using these times for, is not necessarily to overreact, but I know we all love to overreact.
Oh, we're going. That's going to be the theme of this show today, is overreaction theater. But I think it's fun, because I think the first 2 weeks, because week one we see something and we're like, oh crap, this is what it is. And then week two, things may swing the other way, and we're like, oh no. And then by about week three, I think it was when we really kind of figure out what teams and what players are going to be. But we're going to look back at what happened in week one. Of course, as we record this, there are still two more games to be played here on Monday night. We've got the Texans and the Saints. We also have the Broncos and the Raiders. So we will kind of, we probably won't talk too much about that, because by the time you listen to it, it may be over. So, but we'll talk about some other things that happened on Sunday. Some questions, some waiver wire picks, all that good stuff. But before we do all that, as always, we'll go behind the glass and talk to our faithful producer, Senior Edward L. Murphy, Esquire. Murph, what's up?
Well, not a good Sunday for the Giants. I'm sure Fabs is quite happy. And I'm in one of those scenarios with one of my leagues where my guys are done and they have guys going tonight. And I'm just like praying, just crossing my fingers that they don't pass me in terms of points. So I'm stretching this one out. I also had Hollywood Brown on my bench. So it's like not a good Monday morning.
Bro, but half the battle has been won. You have Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, I'm one of the people, I'll pat myself on the back, that I actually did, like, since he was drafted, I bought into Lamar Jackson and I bought into the Ravens receivers. So I feel good about that at least. So I do have him.
Isn't it ridiculous that, like, I can't remember a rookie class at wide receiver having less value going into a fantasy season, and they all went nuts.
Yeah.
They all, I mean,
that was kind of wild.
AJ Brown, Marquise Brown, DK Metcalf had a big game. I mean, it was ridiculous.
We'll get to it on Brown, but I mean, Brown only ran like,
no, yeah.
There were,
I know,
there,
exactly.
There were worries.
Yeah,
there
exactly.
We'll
yeah, right.
There are
right.
things to be yep. worried about there, yep. But, but I mean, at least in terms of production.
Yeah.
Aren't they playing the Cardinals, though, next week?
They are playing the Cardinals next week.
So, like,
they are playing the Cardinals
next week. There you go, man.
Which, by the way, just, in terms of matchup, the Lamar versus Kyler matchup, at least potentially, is a lot of fun. We'll see how it works out actually on the field, but at least on paper, it seems like it's going to be a lot of fun. So, hey, we have plenty to talk about, so let's do some news.
The news.
Well, the first bit of news actually goes back to the weekend before we had any games played on Sunday. And unless you've been living under a rock, you know about this. Antonio Brown went through maybe the wildest 24 hours I think I can remember seeing in a while. And this is after he was traded to the Bills for like an hour. We all went to sleep on Friday. He had posted a weird video with a conversation, a phone conversation between he and John Gruden. It looked like a Nike or an Apple commercial or something like that. It was actually really well done. So whoever he has on staff to create these videos, like, kudos, man, because that looked great. We kind of thought that might be the end of it. Then we wake up on Saturday morning, especially early on the West Coast. It was about 6 o'clock in the morning on the West Coast. He has posted on Instagram that he wants to be released. By the time I had finished making breakfast, he had been released. And maybe an hour after that, he had signed with the New England Patriots. So I know that, I'm sure Twitter has had plenty to talk about. We have sort of talked about it amongst ourselves. But let's talk about it here, Fabs. Antonio Brown with the Patriots. Suddenly, if you got him in the third round, you got a bargain.
You guys know I don't like him. This is like one of those scenarios where I didn't like him in Oakland. I didn't think he was going to play Monday night for the Raiders. He whined and cried his way out of Oakland. There was even a report that suggested he hired social media folks to sort of tell him, what do I do on my social media to get me out of Oakland? Okay. And now he ends up like in maybe the best spot he could possibly have ended up in.
Good for him.
I mean,
yeah. Good for him. Like, I'm not mad about it.
I listen, as someone who has two shares of him,
yeah.
Like, I like the fact that he's playing for the Patriots and Tom Brady. I mean, good God, they destroyed the Steelers last night. And Philip Dorsett had two touchdowns, and now they're going to get Antonio Brown. So from a fantasy perspective, this is great for AB. I just don't like the way that it makes the NFL look, because it makes the NFL look weak, because elite players can whine and bitch and moan their way out of situations that they don't want to be in.
Yeah,
that's fine.
But this is also just one case, you know, like I think.
Do you remember Terrell Owens? Well, I mean, there's been a lot of cases.
It's called leverage, though, Fabs. Like, if Antonio Brown wasn't good at his job, nobody would have signed him.
No, I get it. It's just a bad look. That's all.
So two things. I mean, it rarely happens. And like Marcus said, it is leverage. I mean, the Brown's relationship with the Raiders started falling apart like months ago. I mean, the writing was on the wall here, especially when they started fining him and basically threatening his guarantees. It's just unfortunate that the Patriots.
But shouldn't they?
If
his conduct is detrimental to the team, and there is language in the contract that says, "Hey, man, if you are an idiot, we could take away your guaranteed money." He signed that contract, right?
Not even getting to the fantasy point of this. I mean, I went on a whole big thing on Twitter about the word guarantee. And if it is called a guarantee, then it is a guarantee. It is not a condition. Him showing up makes it a condition. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is, he's with the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
His fantasy value goes back to where it was when he was a Steeler. It's great.
Yep.
Right. And now, Graham, you posted on Twitter about who loses value here, right? Because everybody was excited about Josh Gordon. He had a touchdown on Sunday night. Julian Edelman had a ton of catches on Sunday night. James White was a big part of the game plan on Sunday night. All those guys end up eating a little bit less, I would imagine, with Antonio Brown there.
Yeah, I posted a poll last night. It's still up. It has 11 hours. Posted it like fourth quarter in that terrible, terrible Patriots Steelers game. But Josh Gordon currently leads the poll. I basically said, which New England pass catcher loses the most value? Between White, Edelman, and Gordon. Right now, it's Gordon. I actually think it's White. I think the public is completely wrong on this.
I think
it's completely flipped. I actually think James White loses the most value here. The Patriots are going to be a three wide receiver team, and we saw it a little bit last night. That catch that Josh Gordon had in the slot, that touchdown he had, the run after the catch, he was lined up out of the slot, and that's something that the Patriots are going to be able to do now with these three guys. Like, people forget that Edelman can line up outside. He lines up in their two wide receiver sets outside. They're going to be so multiple in their 11 personnel and three wide receiver sets with AB on the field. It's going to be insanely sick to watch. Mm. For fantasy, I have to think that AB is back as a top 12 receiver.
Yep.
He's not going to have the 160 target upside like he did with the Steelers, but 130 targets from Brady in a super, super efficient offense, he can still get to double-digit scores and 1,200 yards and just go beast mode.
Yeah, and on top of it now, you mentioned Tom Brady. He goes from being a guy who was a fringe QB1 to, he is firmly in the mix as a quarterback.
I get that, it's Monday and we haven't looked ahead, but Tom Brady's probably going to be my QB1 in my rankings.
He'll be a top this week. Yeah, he's going to be a top.
I mean, like,
this week, he's the
Dolphins.
Yeah.
Dolphins, oh my God.
It'll
be awful.
Really interesting to see if AB plays like a full full snap share in week one or week two for opening game. I'd have to imagine they're going to get him in some space and try to make things easy for him. But he's also like one of the five best receivers to ever line up in the NFL. And I'm expecting fireworks pretty quick.
I mean, it's funny, we were, a month ago sort of looking at this wide receiver group and wondering, okay, like, how exactly does this work out? We know Julian Edelman's going to be there. Josh Gordon in some form or fashion will be there. But what happens with the rest of it, too? All of a sudden, now there's just an embarrassment of riches there in New England.
Their tight end does not even matter now.
Nope. Remember, there was like, what do they do without Gronk? Now it's like, whatever.
Yeah, they can go out and play. They can play 20 personnel. Last year, they played over 20 snaps and 20 personnel. That's three receivers and two running backs on the field. They can just do it. This is perfect for what the Patriots want to do.
Isn't it just insane how things change so quickly? Like, earlier in the preseason and even into the offseason, we were talking about how the Patriots could be transitioning more to a team that's going to run the football more. They're going to have Sony Michel. They drafted Damian Harris. And now, hell, they're going to air the heck out of that football week in and week out. Now they got Antonio Brown with Josh Gordon and Julian Edelman. I would argue, and I don't know that there's an argument against it, this is the best trio of wide receivers any team has in the National Football League.
Yeah, suddenly I think there are. You know, and it's funny, too, because they made the comment on the broadcast last night, like, you know, they still have Demaryius Thomas, who's trying to get healthy. I mean, I know that he's not the same player he once was, but I mean, you know, he was a pretty good receiver, man, when he was at his peak. So, you know, it's funny too. I was thinking about this, like, I think it was about this time a year ago, we were doing this podcast. We were in the studio when the news came that the Patriots had gotten Josh Gordon, and I went on like a little mini spontaneous rant where I think I threw a pin across the room or whatever.
You never do that spontaneous rant, do you? For always. You love the spontaneous.
It did quite well on social media.
It did very well on social media. Yeah. And it's funny, like, when the Patriots got Antonio Brown, like, I was like, I think just because I'm just resigned to it now. I'm like, yeah,
we're all numb.
Sure, fine.
But they kind of sold their soul to the devil. Like, I didn't think that they would do it. I underestimated it.
That's so funny that you had the same reaction, because I was going down to the beach. It was like 2 o'clock here, right? And I was just like, whatever. Once he was cut, it's just like, he's going to go to a team that's going to contend. It might be the Patriots. We all joked about it.
And let's be real about this, right? The worst thing Antonio Brown really did, like, he missed practice. He yelled at his general manager. He had plenty of guys have had weird injuries. Yep. Plenty of guys have had equipment issues. Plenty of guys have fought with look, Latrell Sprewell choked a coach, right? Like, the worst. And so because... All right.
Wait a minute. He posted a letter sent by his GM.
Okay.
That fined him. Players don't do that. He also posted a private conversation with his head coach on social media.
Who said that? And afterwards, he said that was fine.
Because John
funny.
Gruden looks weak in this whole thing. He looks weak in this whole thing.
That's his whole point.
Because he wants to win, and apparently he doesn't care that Antonio Brown basically, you know, berated the GM. Mike Mayock, if I'm Mike Mayock, I ain't real happy right now.
All right, so because we have somehow begun to conflate NFL football with military service, somehow disrupting unit cohesion is the worst possible thing they could do. I got a letter from the DMV the other day. I opened it, read it. It said they were suckers. Like, whatever, man. It's not a big deal. Yeah. Like, let's get over. This is not some sold their soul to the devil. They signed a really talented football player. If it doesn't work out, they kick him to the curb and we move on. We live our lives.
I will agree to disagree.
One final point. This is Gruden's fault, right? Like
yes.
AB. Okay. AB has been, let's just say, dramatic off the field for both the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Raiders, right? But like Marcus said, it's not like he's done anything out of like criminal. I mean, he's just been obnoxious.
He's been obnoxious. That's it.
Isn't it criminal in some states to post a private conversation on social media?
Sure. If John Gruden decides he wants to post, like,
I mean, but
this is grasping at straws right now.
I know.
It's really grasping at straws, man. Like, he's a football player who did some goofy things. If some team wants to sign him and put him on the field, then fine.
He's a whiny 3-year-old who cried until he got the toy that he wanted. I mean, that's what it was.
Because he had the leverage to do it.
This is the same Antonio Brown who dyed his hair and had a blonde mustache for quite some time at some point during this offseason.
The lesson, kids, be really good at your job, and you can do a lot more things than the people who aren't good at their jobs. There's no moral compunction about it. All right, football news. Nick Foles suffered a broken clavicle. He's having surgery today. The Jaguars can't have nice things, but Gardner Minshew looked all right on Sunday.
22-25, man. Maybe we can have nice things. Looked all right on Sunday.
So,
Picking him up, Marcus?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
I'm not picking him up. But now the question becomes, how much do we rely? Because D.D. Westbrook was becoming a very hot name near the end of fantasy draft season, right? It was not D.D. Westbrook. It was D.J. Chark who ended up having the big day. Chris Conley actually had a pretty big day, too, in that football game. D.D. Westbrook, not so much. Are we panicking, or is this just a chance? We just need Minshew to work with D.D. Westbrook a little bit more first.
Yeah, I'm panicking a little bit.
I don't know anything about him.
Right, we were buying Foles.
So,
we were buying Foles for two reasons.
He's got a snappy mustache.
Yeah. We're buying Foles for two reasons, right? The first being he's an improvement over Blake Bortles. That's obvious. And number two, Nick Foles targeted his slot receivers more than any quarterback in the NFL last year. You take him off the field, put in Gardner Minshew, who's just a rookie. I'm definitely panicking on this Jags receiver corps, but you know I'm not. Panicking on is Leonard Fournette.
Nope,
he is going to get all the touches. He handled it's like an 85% snap rate yesterday. He's just going to get hammered to all the touches. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, now it's just going to be in a significantly lower ceiling offense. But yeah, this receiver core is.
And the Jaguars had two of the wide receivers that had the biggest games and nobody started. Like, if you look at the wide receiver position yesterday.
Started DJ Chark.
I mean, dude, nobody had DJ Chark. I mean, this is not exactly the who's who of fantasy football wide receivers. And I believe, Marcus, we're going to get into that at some point later in the show.
Oh, yeah.
But both of those guys between Chark and Connolly, who do you pick up? Do you pick up either one of them?
I think early in draft season, I drafted
Connolly,
Chris Connolly. Uh-huh. And it was just one of those like end of draft, like, hey, man, I don't know. Let's just throw a dart here. I certainly didn't start him. But yeah, I think that's going to be one to figure. But it's funny. It's because like this time last year, right? I remember reading all these Jaguars beat writers and all of them had one receiver that was going to blow up. They just all had different ones, right? So now we're sort of back in the same spot, right? There's going to be a receiver in this offense who steps up and plays well. We just got to figure out which one.
Overnight, Chark was the 21st most added player on NFL.com.
Yeah. I mean, the Jags have a pretty sweet schedule, but I just don't have much confidence in this passing game.
Minshew.
Yeah.
At some point, we're going to talk about Minshew as being like a nice DFS play, and it might be soon.
Yeah, it might be soon.
I mean, when you have a completion percentage like that coming out, and I get it, he's a rookie, and you know, they were throwing the ball a ton, but he was completing a ton of passes.
I mean, outside of their one game, they have a game in Denver in week four, but the rest of that up until their bye is like, it's pretty sweet, but at the same time, it's just such a downgrade and so disappointing.
It's disappointing for the Jaguars, and...
And next week he got, you know, DeeDee Westbrook. I mean, is he a playable asset?
I don't think so.
Right? No. The matchup, if I remember correctly, and I haven't looked ahead.
With no team on a bye, they get the Texans next week.
Right, okay.
With no teams on a bye.
Yeah.
I mean, outside it's going to be Fournette, and maybe Minshew gets some rapport really quickly with Westbrook or Chark, but other than that, I just,
got to see how that Houston Texans defense plays
tonight. Yeah, that's going to be one to watch tonight. In Kansas City, Tyreek Hill left with a shoulder injury. James Palmer had a tweet kind of breaking down what it was, but I don't have a medical degree, so I can't
read. Yeah, that thing was kind of hard to understand.
The end result, basically, he won't have to have surgery, but he is going to miss a few weeks. Sammy Watkins was having a blow-up game anyway, and then it only got bigger and better once Tyreek Hill went out of the football game. But, Fabs, I think this means if you are poking around on the waiver wire, suddenly Mecole Hardman becomes a name that at least has some interest for you in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, no question about that. And there was actually a quote, and I'm trying to find it because it came through our email, where Watkins was quoted as saying that they are going to be without Hill for, like, it was like 6 to 7 weeks or something like that. I'm not sure exactly what it was,
right?
But it wasn't good. And I don't know if Watkins maybe just is speaking out of school and doesn't really know. But the injury that Hill had suffered didn't seem like it was all that quickly to return from.
Right. I don't think the Chiefs even know how long Tyreek Hill is going to be out right now. We kind of don't have a lot of information right now totally about what this injury completely is. Doesn't sound like he broke his collarbone at all, but there's something going on here. He's going to miss multiple games. You mentioned Mecole Hardman, Marcus. Mm-hmm. He played on nearly 80% of Chiefs snaps yesterday. Definitely going to be someone that you need to have on your rosters. But Sammy Watkins, man, as long as Tyreek Hill is out, he's got to be a top 15 receiver play every week. I was shocked when I found this last when I was going through research for the season. Right, I was writing the team previews, and Sammy Watkins actually out-targeted Tyreek Hill in the games that he played, like the full games that he played. He played like 8 full games last year. Watkins actually saw more targets than Hill, and he was awesome yesterday. He reached the fastest speed that he's reached in years per Next Gen Stats. He had his juice back, and now that he's fully healthy, he's had an off season to fully prepare in this offense. Man, Sammy Watkins, we might finally get a full
We've been waiting a long time.
A full view of Watkins' talent here in this fantastic offense.
Speaking of wide receivers, a little bit off the rails here, but Ian Rappaport is reporting that OBJ played the game yesterday.
Oh, like a $300,000 watch.
With a $350,000 watch.
That's the best.
Is it Richard Mill? M-I-L-L-E?
I don't know.
And
man,
that he violated a league rule prohibiting wearing hard objects.
Like, I wear like a $20 watch I got at Ross, so like I'm the person to ask for that.
Oh my gosh.
That is awesome.
That's OBJ.
That's when you know you're balling on another level. Like,
yeah,
you know,
no kidding.
Like, that's Life goals, man.
350?
Life goal.
I'll suit up with it.
That is really awesome. So, all right, there you go. That's pretty much everything you need to know.
That was the news.
All right, so let's raise the curtain on Overreaction Theater now that week one is mostly in the books, minus, as I mentioned, those two games that are going to be played on Monday night. A handful of topics here. We can get you guys' thoughts on and, you know, tell me if I'm overreacting, which, you know, I probably am, but that's fine. Lamar Jackson is the QB1 over everybody. And we have to cut Baker Mayfield. That's it. I mean, that's how we feel now. Lamar Jackson, 324 passing yards, 5 touchdowns, 33.5 fantasy points with only 6 rushing yards.
Greg Roman didn't even have to open
up that
section of the Ravens playbook.
I got to see. That might be like the best passing performance in fantasy that any quarterback Greg Roman has had.
Probably.
It might has be. Ever posted.
Honestly, that's one of the best performances in a single game that we've ever seen. Lamar only threw the ball like 20 times yesterday and over 300 yards.
Right. Meanwhile, Baker Mayfield, 285 passing yards, a touchdown, 3 interceptions, including a pick 6. Did not reach 9.5 fantasy points. The Browns, after all the offseason hype, got kicked in the teeth on Sunday. So that means it's all over for them. They might as well pack it up. Lamar Jackson is God, and everybody who thought otherwise can...
Gardner Minshew almost doubled up Baker Mayfield. Almost.
I watched a good bit of that Browns-Titans game yesterday, and the Browns' offensive line is going to be a problem all season long.
You know, it's funny, too, because I think it was on Thursday's NFL Fantasy Live show when we were talking about players to be worried about. Cynthia Freeland said she was worried about Nick Chubb, and one of the things she cited was the offensive line. Now, Chubb had an okay game. He had, 75 rushing yards. I think he had, 10 or 15 receiving yards, something like that. But, I do think to her point, watching that game, there is something to be said for that offensive line and maybe how it could potentially submarine what this offense wants to do.
But, I mean, the Browns just, they laid an egg yesterday. Things are going to get better because they can't get worse. There's too much talent on that offense for them to do this all season long. I was texting with the Miz because he's a diehard Browns fan, and he didn't respond very, very quickly. Same with Todd Mossberg, our esteemed producer on NFL Fantasy Live. So Browns fans are definitely down in the dumps. Colin Cowherd, I'm sure, is going to have a blast with this whole Browns explosion and Baker Mayfield looking bad. But things are going to get better. And as Marcus said, you know, this is not the time to overreact on a scenario like this. Nick Chubb's going to get better. Baker Mayfield's going to get better because they have to, because that was an absolute disaster yesterday.
It really couldn't have got much worse. They had a million penalties. They had a guy get ejected for kicking an opponent in the face. It looked like the old Factory of Sadness was back out and pumping out widgets again on Sunday. So hopefully things do turn around. Sammy Watkins and DeSean Jackson are wide receiver ones. I mean, we talked about Watkins' day, 9 catches, 198, and 3 touchdowns. DeSean Jackson, 8 catches, 154 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I guess the biggest thing with D-Jax is that he has a quarterback that can hit him on deep throws, which he didn't have in Tampa. I mean, I kept saying we should put Jameis Winston in the CIA because he could overthrow dictators around the world. But I know that's an exaggeration, but it's nice to suddenly have these two speedy guys back in our fantasy football lives again.
And Carson Wentz reaped the rewards of that with a strong game. It's funny because I was talking to one of our researchers late last week, and I said, can you pull up the stats on DeSean Jackson when he faces a team that he used to play for? And
metric.
Yes. And I was like, it wasn't like as like enormous as I thought it might be, but I was thinking in the back of my mind, if I have DeSean Jackson this week, I'm probably going to play him as a flex because there's just that inkling of I want to beat the team that I was on and show them, hey man, this is what I'm all about. And boy, did he go off on the Redskins.
If anything, and we've kind of mentioned this a bunch in the offseason, this just helps Carson Wentz even more. Yeah. I mean, this just helps his ceiling even more. We've now seen DeSean Jackson go to so many different teams and immediately help the quarterbacks that he's played with in terms of efficiency. I mean, Kirk Cousins was a better quarterback with DeSean Jackson on the field. Even though Jameis Winston couldn't hit him, and Ryan Fitzpatrick were both better quarterbacks with D-Jax on the field last year. Same thing goes for Wentz. I mean, this is the lid lifter that they've needed for so long.
Yeah, it really was. You know, they spread the ball around too in Philadelphia, which is sort of what we expected.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, Zach Ertz, that
record-breaking reception total and target total last year. That's coming down. That's going to regress.
That number's coming down, definitely.
He's going to have some monster games, but Jeffrey and Jackson are going to get some. They're going to get a ton of looks there.
Yep, absolutely. Speaking of wide receivers, maybe we should never draft wide receivers early. At least as of last night during the Sunday night game, 13 of the top 20 wide receivers from week one were drafted in round nine or later. We had the two rookies, Marquise Brown and Terry McLaurin, who stepped up and played really well in week one. And forget it. The wide receiver doesn't matter. We can wait until the seventh or eighth round and we'll find a guy. It's like quarterback. Yeah. That's all
good. What I was mentioning too earlier on was, like, if you look at the top scoring wide receivers for week one, it is a list that includes John Ross, Marquise Brown, Philip Dorsett, John Brown, DJ Chark, Jamison Crowder, Terry McLaurin, I'm not done yet, Marcus, Danny Amendola, Chris Connolly, all right? It was the who's who of who the hell is that?
It's more the who's that.
I will say a bunch of the top guys had tough matchups this past week. I mean, Julio is obviously playing the Vikings. Devontae Adams had a tough draw.
OBJ against the Titans.
I actually thought Beckham would do way more in that game, but the Browns' offensive line just kind of fell apart, and Baker was not very good. But, you know, a bunch of tough draws. Tyreek Hill got hurt. Adam Thielen only – the Vikings only threw the ball 10 times.
Stephon Diggs was banged up.
Yeah,
but
kind of a weird week for top wide receivers.
You know one of the top wide receivers who came through for everybody? How about them Cowboys? Oh, sorry, Eddie. Amari Cooper, man, he looks good. This guy's he is fixing to get paid. Dak is fixing to get paid. And the Cowboys are going to be, let's just say, fantasy plentiful.
Well, they are. And they also, they were also a team, and not to dismiss what they did on Sunday, they were a team that everybody looked at that first 4 weeks of the schedule, and they're like, this is the chance for these guys
it's all
to
great,
eat
dude.
Right now.
Yeah, and hell, Randall Cobb.
Randall Cobb showed out. Michael Gallup had a huge day. They definitely did. And I am kidding about this never draft wide receivers early, because look, even in a bad day for the Falcons, you know, Julio Jones still had a pretty good day. You know, Keenan Allen had a big day. T.Y. Hilton had a really big day. So those guys are there, and we know that the other guys are going to produce. But I think it does speak to the depth at the wide receiver position that you have some of these other guys that you can draft in later rounds, and you know, they will go out and have big days. I mean, I will say that I brought back my Monday morning Monday morning tweet storm, and so many of the complaints were about guys sitting or wide receivers sitting on benches.
This is just one of those weird weeks.
It's week one, man.
Top end too. We'll get hopefully we'll get right tonight with Nuke Hopkins having a big game.
Because Juju kind of got locked down a little bit.
He ended up being okay though, kind of garbage time.
It was okay. Vance McDonald. Ugh.
Yeah,
that was one. But guys, I say it every single year. I'll say it every year while I'm doing this. The only thing that's predictable about the NFL is that it's unpredictable. And so don't knock yourself because you ended up starting Jameis Winston over Kyler Murray like I did. Don't knock yourself because Marquise Brown is on the waiver wire in your league. Guys, things happen. We're all learning, and we're going to continue to learn. I think it's going to probably take a good 3 to 4 weeks before we have a really good grasp at what teams are doing, what defenses are bad against what positions, and who is earned bigger roles in their respective offenses.
It's almost like fantasy football incorporates a little bit of luck.
A little bit.
This thing for Black Helicopter. Sorry, I got quiet. I didn't know if the Black Helicopter was going to...
Hey, listen, dude, you're predicting the future is hard, not easy. Ask Nostradamus.
Predicting the future is hard. That's why
you got more stuff wrong than he got right.
That's why I don't dump on weather people. It's hard.
Not in Southern California.
That's true. Here
it's
pretty easy.
Sunny and 75.
It's going to be warm and the sun's going to be out. Last overreaction. T.J. Hockenson is the new George Kittle. 6 catches, 131 yards, and a touchdown. On a team that was supposed to be establishing the run, T.J. Hockenson went berserk. And that was one I totally was wrong on. I didn't
Me too.
Think there'd be enough targets going around, especially not for Hockenson. But he balled out on Sunday.
Couple things. Mm-hmm. The Cardinals played really, really fast in this game. They were, like, really juiced up the pace. They're number one in terms of seconds in between snaps. So the Lions got a ton of extra plays here. But T.J. Hockenson was top five in routes run among tight ends. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he's immediately going to be a full-time player, there's obviously going to be weeks where the lines are not this voluminous in terms of their pass.
Voluminous. Waiting for you to throw out one of those words.
He's immediately a full-time player. Fantastic to see. And Marcus, this kind of speaks to something we've all been talking about this past offseason, is just tight end is going to be so much better this year. And maybe if we can get Hockenson in the fray as like a top 20 play as a, as a streamer, it's going to be even better.
I mean, I know we talked about the potential. I mean, this is way back in February, March. We talked about the potential of one of those rookie tight ends maybe having a role, whether it's Hockenson or Fant. And we'll get a chance possibly to see Fant early in the season. But this... I did not expect so much so soon.
I don't think anybody did. And Hockenson is readily available on the waiver wire, so go out and get him.
He won't be after this.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Kenny Galladay had a nice day. He got the touchdown, so it wasn't as big as we thought. But we all said start Galladay and even Marvin Jones, and it ended up being Danny friggin' Amendola, who ended up being a hero out of the slot, and nobody played him. We talk about tight end and Hockenson. How about my boy Evan Engram? So
That went according to plan.
So when I love it, man. 14 targets. So when he caught that first touchdown, his agent like texted me and was like, "That's for you, Fabs." And I says, "Listen, I hope Evan has a huge game. I have him in fantasy leagues. You're not going to win the game, but I hope Evan has a big game." And Evan now, he actually did really well. And his agent was texting me and he's like, "Dude, this whole fantasy football thing is kind of fun." I'm like, "You'll never not play again."
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, look, man, he's got to ball out because he drafted himself in the second round, man. He's got to make it worth
it. It was worth it yesterday, that's for sure.
Real quick, before we move on to, because I have questions. That's our next thing, right? But before I get onto that, a tweet from Ian Rappaport just a few minutes ago. 49ers running back Tevin Coleman suffered an ankle sprain in yesterday's win over the Bucks, according to a source, an injury that is expected to force him to miss time. He's having tests today in Youngstown, Ohio, where the team is staying to determine the nature of the sprain. We saw a lot of Raheem Mostert in that game on Sunday against the Buccaneers. Oh, and shocking, Matt Breida left with a supposed injury, but came back and played in the second half.
Mostert's going to be rosterable now because Breida's made of glass.
Yeah,
so
it'll be interesting to see. Jeff Wilson Jr., their fourth string running back, made the team but was inactive yesterday.
Yeah, they'll probably activate him.
They'll activate him. I'm not going to just immediately spend all my fab on Mostert. I think...
Oh, no. You don't do that, but he's worth a look.
Breida is now in a cake spot. This was always the possibility, though. Breida either taking over that job or, you know, he needs one injury to have top 24, top 30 value.
We've got to start calling Breida Wolverine, man, because like he gets hurt, but it doesn't really stick. He comes back and he's fine again. Tevin Coleman, who I invest I have a lot of Tevin Coleman on.
I have a couple of shares of him too. I have Breida though as well. So
not a great start for Coleman.
Away from the overreaction theater, I have questions. Things that I saw or at least read about that makes me a little bit like I'm not panicked yet, but I am concerned. So the first one, what now with Todd Gurley, right? Like the numbers were fine. He had the 97 rushing yards.
He looked good in the second half.
He looked good in the second half. He was the guy that they went to try to close out the game, but he only had 15 touches total. Everybody talked about his snap share, that he was on the field for 71% of the snaps.
71%,
like,
and Malcolm Brown was on 26.
But he didn't get targeted a lot in the passing game, and he got no touches in the red zone. I think Malcolm Brown actually had more red zone snaps than Gurley did. The efficiency is great, Fabs, but man, it's a lot to ask for if the number of touches actually is going to be decreased this year.
Here's what I'm hoping was the scenario yesterday. The Rams were simply allowing Todd Gurley to get his quote-unquote sea legs back, okay, because he hasn't played football in a long time. He didn't do anything in the preseason. I'm hoping that's the case. We all came into the season expecting Todd Gurley to not see as many touches. The issue here, and the surprise for me, was that Todd Gurley, when you get that Rams offense inside the 10-yard line, that's where he makes his, that's where he makes his money.
Yep.
And they gave the ball to Malcolm Brown. So to be quite honest with you, what I saw yesterday, I didn't expect him to lose those opportunities inside the 10-yard line to Malcolm Brown. And while I don't know that that's going to be the scenario moving forward, if Brown is digging into his opportunities near the goal line, then Todd Gurley's not going to be worth the second round pick that a lot of us took him at.
This was always the concern, though, is like the Rams want to keep Gurley fresh. They want to keep that knee as healthy as possible throughout the season. The Rams are a Super Bowl contending team. There's no reason for them to not rotate their backs when they have two guys behind them, especially Malcolm Brown, who they love. There's no reason for them not to rotate their backs. I think this will be more of a thing. I don't necessarily think Sean McVay was going into it saying, we're going to take Gurley off the field every time we get inside the 10. That might have just been the way that those particular drives flowed, and they just wanted to rotate their backs at that point in the game. But this just kind of speaks to what we were sort of expecting, is like, this might be a week-to-week proposition where Gurley's floor is no longer 20 touches. His floor now might be 12 to 15.
Yeah, and I guess the biggest thing is we have to think about Todd Gurley now, right? Like before, he really was a set-it-and-forget-it kind of guy.
Never
you just
thought
put him in your lineup
it,
right. And you just didn't have to worry about it. But now we really do have to think about it.
One of the final weird things of this game is like Todd. I went back and looked. Pro Football Focus has Todd Gurley running. He ran 30 routes out of the 44 pass plays the Rams ran. So 30 pass routes out of the 44 pass plays.
Mm-hmm.
Malcolm Brown only ran 6 routes. So even though Gurley didn't see any targets, he was on the field constantly for those passing snaps. And I got to think in a few more games, if he continues to play that many passing snaps, he'll get a few more targets.
Yeah, quick update from Ian Rappaport. It looks like Nick Foles' surgery is this morning, and he'll be placed on injured reserve.
Man, Jags.
But I would think it would be IR designated to return.
Feel bad for the Jags fans, man.
IR boomerang, as our friends around the NFL refer to it. It's funny too, because they went and they paid up for Nick Foles, you know, with the argument being this is the cost of doing business to get a top level quarterback in there, and he doesn't make it through two quarters without getting hurt. In fact, that was the first quarter, wasn't it? I think it was first quarter.
First couple drives.
Yeah.
Not good.
That sucks. In Detroit, we mentioned T.J. Hockenson having the big day. I feel like I was lied to about Kerryon Johnson, that Matt Patricia and the Lions wanted to establish the run, and that didn't really happen, especially against a team that had the worst run defense in the league last year. The Lions look like the old Lions with Matt Stafford, you know, running all over the place and slinging the ball. In fact, for a while, I think Matt Stafford had more rushing yards than Kyler Murray. I'm not panicking about Kerryon Johnson yet, Fabs, but that was not the way I wanted things to start, I'll tell you that.
Well, you know, and I was on the Kerryon bandwagon too, and I'm not jumping off at this point. But, you know, I did mention that C.J. Anderson was going to be involved in this offense. I know C.J., and I know he's going to be involved. He had 11 carries in this game. Okay, he only had 5 fewer than Kerryon Johnson. Kerryon's going to have his share of games. And I do feel like because, you know, they knew the Cardinals' defensive backfield was a mess. So they were going to target those DBs, and they did, and they had success with Amendola and Hockenson, and Galladay had a decent day as well, got into the end zone. So I almost feel like the Lions' game plan to throw the football, I mean, Stafford threw it 45 times.
I'm just laughing, Fabs, because the Lions had a perfect spot for this game, right? Like Cardinals are without their top two cornerbacks. Yep. Stafford throws for 385 yards and 3 scores, and they still tie.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, like, this is a perfect game for them to come out, and Stafford played extremely well. They could have ran the ball even more if they wanted to, especially because of the game script, and they still tied.
And most people out there in fantasy, in traditional leagues, like, you're not starting Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
Even with the great matchup, you're not starting him.
Streamer play.
He was a streamer play, but even then, he was down the list of streamer plays.
I think he was, like, 22 at quarterback for me last week, and it wasn't because it wasn't a great matchup. It's because, like, there's just so many good quarterbacks now, but Stafford, I'm sure, is going to be picked up in some leagues because he is relatively unowned off of his disappointing 2018 season. And I wouldn't expect this kind of performance every week, though.
No, definitely not going to expect this every single week. One I didn't have on my list, but I just thought about this as we're sitting here. So we went into Sunday hoping that we would learn a little bit more about Jameis Winston and Jimmy Garoppolo, and I feel like we left week one still not knowing much about Jameis Winston, or maybe we do know about Jameis Winston. Maybe he's just always going to be this volatile character, and maybe that's the same with Jimmy Garoppolo. Maybe they're just always going to be these two volatile quarterbacks that you just can never fully pin down week.
I don't think Garoppolo is yet. I still think that the jury's still out on that. The small sample size has been really good on him. Jameis is...
It's
getting really, really hard to carry water for.
And I'll take the bullet here. I don't know if you told people that you like Jameis this week. I did. I apologize for that. Trust me, I started him over Kyler Murray in one of my leagues, and I'm kicking myself for it because the matchup was there. And I honestly, dude, Jameis Winston is going to have some huge games this season. He's going to.
Absolutely.
But he's also going to have these games where he's absolutely, and I can't swear, but awful. Okay.
Dog crap.
Awful. Yes. 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 That's the yes. And that's what you deal with Jameis Winston. But there's going to be games this season, guys, where he has, you know, 25, 30 points, and you're going to be like, darn, I should have started Jameis Winston. But this is why he's such a volatile play, because even in a home game against a defense that seemed vulnerable on paper, Jameis sucked.
Yeah, and this isn't a case of I know some teams started a little bit slow because they didn't have they didn't play much during the preseason. But Jameis and the Bucks, they played like nearly a game's worth of first team snaps in the preseason. So this wasn't a rust situation. This was just Jameis being bad. Mm-hmm. OJ Howard wasn't very good in this game.
OJ Howard was not particularly great.
I think it's just the Bucks' offense as a whole was not very good.
Well, hey. Ronald Jones
had a couple nice
runs.
I saw Marcus's ears perk up there as a
well, it's funny too, because I watched like late in that game. I was kind of watching it, and I saw somebody rip off a run. I'm like, is that? Oh, that's Ronald. I didn't recognize him at first because he really has bulked up.
Yeah, he's bigger now.
For a second, I'm like, is that Peyton Barber? I'm like, no, that's not Peyton Barber. That really is Ronald Jones.
And I'm wondering, Rojo could be out there in some leagues. So you may want to take a flyer on him this week.
And, you know, just as a footnote, Dari Ogunbowale he had 5 targets in the game for what it's worth. A lot of them came late when they were losing and needing to catch up. But the Bucks could be losing a lot late and trying to catch up. So
he was kind of like that deep league fantasy darling towards the end of drafts.
He was. He was the guy I definitely I took some dart throws at late in drafts there.
Yep.
Last question I have, is there actually life in this Washington offense? I mean, Darius Geis was okay. I mean, we didn't expect...
I was bummed.
We knew it was a tough matchup for him. I mean, this is going to
be the problem with him, man.
But, man, Terry McLaurin comes out of nowhere, basically, and lights it up.
Well, the Eagles' secondary is really, really bad. I mean, the front seven is awesome, but this secondary has not been good for quite some time. I'm not going to bank on... Case Keenum came out and just looked like God.
Just carved them up.
He looked like God.
Carved them up.
Which is shocking.
This is going to be the problem with Geis. Like, I went back and pulled it up... For Pro Football Focus, Chris Thompson ran 37 pass routes. Darius Geis ran 8.
Mm-hmm.
If Geis isn't going to be involved in the pass game, he's basically...
He had 3 catches.
He's an RB3 in PPR every single week. This team is going to trail a ton.
And you mentioned a guy that's available in the waiver wire, too. And I get it. Like, the dude is not durable. But when Chris Thompson is 100%, the guy's good for 5-6 catches every single game. He had 7 for 68. He only had 3 carries, but you're not... He's like Tariq Cohen light, okay? While he's on the field and... We know he's had injury concerns throughout his career, but when he's on the field, this guy is a pass-catching maven, and he is going to be contributing, especially with Geis not getting the opportunities, as Graham mentioned, as a pass catcher. So if you're in a PPR league, and most of us are these days, I mean, Chris Thompson, he needs to be owned in your league.
Yeah. Another update from Ian Rappaport. This has just been a show full of updates today. Mm-hmm. Source says the Jaguars have traded for Steelers quarterback Josh Dobbs. The compensation is a 2020 fifth rounder. So that's just, you know, something to put in your back pocket. And, you know,
they had to do something.
They had to fill out their quarterback spot, obviously, with
The world is so void of good quarterbacks, like the planet. Like, I always remember Dave Damashek once saying that playing quarterback in the National Football League is the hardest job in the world because you can't even find 32 good ones on how many billions of people on this planet, right? I mean, it's laughable, but it's absolutely true.
Yeah.
It's hard to find. If your starter goes down, like if you look down the line of the starting quarterbacks in this league and the guys who are backing them up, my goodness gracious, if Dak Prescott ever got hurt, Cooper Rush, okay? If Patrick Mahomes ever got hurt severely, it's Matt Moore. It is scary out there behind some of these starting quarterbacks.
That also suggests to me that Nick Foles might be done for the year. I think if he was going to come back in 8 weeks, I think maybe they signed somebody off the street. And I know a fifth round draft pick in 2020 isn't necessarily a huge giveaway, but it is something. And I think if they thought Nick Foles was going to be back in 8 weeks, maybe they just go out and sign.
They are obviously concerned. Obviously. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So there you go. You're not picking up Josh Dobbs. Don't get it twisted. But I think that's kind of a way to gauge what is going on there in Jacksonville right now. Before we get out of here, our waiver wire names for the week. I put a few down here. I'm sure there are some that are missing, so you guys feel free to fill in the gaps there. Obviously, Marquise Hollywood Brown is going to be one that is going to be super popular after what happened. I mean, the good news, Graham, is that he had all those yards and the touchdowns. The bad news, what?
12, didn't play 14, a lot of
12, 14 snaps.
Yeah, yeah. Just a few snaps. Weird game for the Ravens, though. Like, Mark Ingram basically didn't play in the second half. Robert Griffin III, I think, got in the game late in the third.
And I think he had a touchdown pass also.
He did, to Mark Andrews.
By the way, high five Mark Andrews, baby! Dude, Andrews kicked ass in that game.
That was awesome.
Love it.
Yeah, that was freaking
awesome. If he's available in your league somehow, please go pick him up.
Yeah, one final point about Marquise Brown. He's definitely one of the top waiver players this week, but we just don't know how the Ravens would intend to use him because this is basically just a half game for them.
Yeah.
They didn't have to play at all.
Yeah.
John Brown, who, you know, I think a lot of us felt like working with Josh Allen was going to be a good fit. It was a lot closer to what he did with Joe Flacco at the beginning of the year last year.
Can I add a third Brown?
Please.
Malcolm Brown,
absolutely, with what he did. So he's going to get some looks, I think, now on waiver wires because of his work, especially in the red zone. DJ Chark, after his big game, is going to be very much coveted on the waiver wire.
I can't stand that last name because it makes me think of that stupid shark.
DJ Chark.
It just drives me nuts.
DJ Chark. There's going to be so many puns, right? Because you got Baby Chark, you got Chark Week, you got Charknado. There's so many things we can do with DJ Chark. Sorry, bro. You know, complain to your folks.
I'm sure he's heard it before.
It's not my fault.
Yeah.
Jamison Crowder, who I think a lot of us liked. I definitely liked him this week. The Jets passing game as a whole did not look great.
Bro, he had 17 targets.
It's 17 targets, 14 catches for 99 yards, which...
That's your PPR platinum play of the week.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
I just...
Are you still tilting?
I just accepted that this is life now, but... but Jamison Crowder is going to get a lot of looks in this offense. He is going to be a guy that you're going to want to have on your roster. Terry McLaurin, we mentioned in Washington there. We couldn't kind of figure out how that wide receiver group is going to work, but it looks like Terry McLaurin is going to be a nice play.
Yeah. I got a few more for you.
Yeah, please.
Gio Bernard, because Joe Mixon went down.
Which
we're not
we didn't
sure
mention, but yeah,
him.
Joe Mixon is dealing with, an ankle injury, I think, right now.
Yeah,
it sounds like a mild sprain. Doesn't sound like as serious as Tevin Coleman.
Always want to be insured, though. Hopefully. Yeah, you always want to be insured. Hopefully. Hockenson's available in a lot of leagues. John Ross, the former first-round pick who had done nothing, suddenly goes ballistic.
I feel like this was a case of John Ross going back to Seattle where he was a college star and being like, yep, this is my time to shine.
Yeah,
like,
right? And then Michael Gallup, giddy up.
Yeah.
Go get him. Gallup was a dude that I was like targeting late in drafts. I didn't start him in any of my leagues, but my goodness gracious, like he could see that he's ready to take that second year leap. And with Dak Prescott fixing to play as good as he's ever played, if not better, because he wants to get paid, Michael Gallup legitimately could have wide receiver three value the rest of the season.
Gallup was a guy that I liked last year too, and he was like, yeah. But yeah, this was really, really encouraging to see what he did on Sunday.
And I get it. You know, the Giants defense, sorry, Eddie, they're not very good, but. The Cowboys offense, man, they got some very favorable matchups in the first couple of weeks of the season.
Yeah, they get the Redskins next week, and then they get the Dolphins at home.
Oh, my goodness, I can't wait.
Guys, Kellen Moore.
I can't wait.
Awesome game.
You know what's going to happen? He is going to end up being one. If this continues, next season he's going to be head coach. You watch, because that's the trend in the NFL. They're just, you know, Kingsbury, like, you know, Zach, they're just hiring dudes.
If you show competence.
Who show, yes, and are young.
Yeah.
Yes.
You show competency.
Yes.
And you are young.
Yep.
You're automatically head coaching candidate.
Now. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No team used play action more yesterday than the Cowboys.
Than the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. No, absolutely. So
it's something that they did not do nearly enough with Scott Linehan last year.
I think that's the thing. Is like they didn't use a lot of play action. They also, you know, didn't really challenge downfield, which is something that we saw Dak doing.
Well, now Gallup is going to giddy up.
So
love it.
So there you go. Those are our waiver wire picks. I'm sure there will be more that you can dig around and find in your respective leagues. But, you know, hey, it's always a chance after week one to maybe try to get ahead of the curve and see if you can outsmart the rest of your league mates. So there you go. We are done. That is it. We appreciate you downloading and listening as always. And you know the drill. Tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, a ghost could be aggressively breakdancing next to you and you'd have no idea. We'll see you on Wednesday.